Hello and welcome. Thank you for tuning in today. My name is William Betzelberger. I am the host and founder of the Resilient Masculinity Podcast and Movement. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming back. If this is your first time, this is a community and a movement for men designed by myself, a male, a man, to encourage, to share, and to equip men to become the resilient, capable, sovereign, and strong men they are called to be. In the background, you're going to hear some squeaking. That is my dog. He's got a new chew toy. And my wife has something going on that she can't be bothered by, so he gets to stay out here with me. So, if you hear squeaking or background noise, that's just going to be what it is today. May not be perfect, but it's part of the day. So, we're going to get right on into it. Today we're going to talk about living unafraid in 2022, in 2021, 2020, heck, even back probably to 2012, right? 10 years ago, everyone would be talking about how it's, 20, insert year, and we don't have this or we don't have that. And part of the problem I see in society is we have a heavy, heavy division in our society here in America and throughout the world. And we're seeing lots of people being censored for what they believe. We are seeing Spotify bend the knee to the crowd of butthurt people because Joe Rogan is talking to scientists who are going against the narrative for COVID vaccine mandates or lockdowns. We're seeing trucker convoys in Canada protesting vaccine mandates. We're seeing business owners getting their businesses ripped out from under them and shut down due to lockdowns. We're coming up on March 23rd, which is a month and 20 days, so probably about, 50 days away or so from Michigan's, which is the state I live in, two-year anniversary of 2 weeks to flatten the curve for lockdowns. We're seeing a heavy division in this country and all across the world. We're seeing protests and marches against quarantine camps in Australia. And in Austria and Germany, we're seeing older women getting harassed by a group of police officers for not showing her vaccine passport. We're starting to see a lot of division in this world. And I believe it is in part due to the fact that people are not willing to stand up. People are not willing to voice their opinion because it may offend someone, because it may hurt someone's feelings. As men, we are called to lead. We are called to lead well. We are called to lead faithfully in our calling. As men, we are called to provide safety. We are called to provide stability. And we're supposed to do it in a attitude and a spirit of service, right? So that we can protect people, keep them safe, so we can provide for our family and bring stability, and so we can serve and lead and preside and be the men we are called to be. Part of that is making those hard choices and deciding what your lines in the sand are. For example, over the last 2 years, 2 years ago, we had massive riots in downtown Grand Rapids, and we had about $500 million worth of property damage, and that was in response to the killing of George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement, and I worked for a security company at the time, and I could not, per company policy, I could not post anything about my opinions because that could construe something that the company would endorse. I only worked for them because I needed a job. It was a good job. It did pay, or it kept me employed when COVID locked a lot of other things down. Security is deemed essential as part of the emergency services division of labor, if you will. So I was employed, I kept my jobs through that. But I was censored in part because I could not accurately or definitively share my personal views because I was an employee of a security company. I no longer work there, they just weren't providing me enough to be able to provide for my family. I moved on to better, bigger and better places, and the current company I work with does not have those restrictions. My current company also does not have vaccine mandates, and they took a lot of flack when the OSHA mandate was in the works for any companies over 100 employees or 100 employees or more would be required to either be all vaccinated or take weekly testing. And my company took a lot of flack because they said we are not going to mandate unless it becomes force of law. And we had a huge uproar in our factory and in our manufacturing and warehousing areas where about half the people I worked with on the weekend shift side of things said even if they mandated it, they'd just walk out. So we're seeing a constant division in our country, and we're seeing a constant division with our companies and in this world. And because we're living afraid, we're living scared of what other people may think, what other people may say, what other people may, call us. Just recently, I had a conversation with a family member, and it got kind of heated a little bit. It did. It got heated, and just over text, which as a general, I hate texting. I think it's a horrible way to communicate in terms of knowing people's motives behind things, knowing people's attitude. You can't read faces when you're texting, and it's just a great way to be misunderstood. But in that conversation, I was siding with the side of the Freedom Convoy in Canada because I do not believe that government mandates for injections into your body is one, at least in the United States, it's definitely not constitutional. Two, I've been a student of history, and I know that kind of absolute power tends to absolutely corrupt. And Nazi Germany did not come about in 2 years, did not come about in 4 years. You had a lot of different little pieces that came into that. Saddam Hussein murdered millions of his own people through mustard gas, through weapons of mass destruction. But a lot of it has to do with dividing people into two camps. You have your clean and your untouchables. You have your Aryans and your Jews. You have your Shiite and whatever other group there was for the Muslims that, mass genocide. You have your Rwandan genocide. Most genocides throughout all of history have been because there is a us versus them mentality. And we saw that even to a different extent. You saw that with the United States Civil War in terms of do we treat people of a different skin color as human or subhuman? And as a result, we had a war that cost 600,000 lives. In the end, righteousness won, but it cost a lot. So, men, lead well, lead unafraid, live unafraid. We live in hard times, I get that. But at the same time, we live in some of the best times. Yes, inflation is getting ready to run rampant. I know it was already up to almost 7% last year, and they're projecting it to be higher. But also, there's never been a time in history where more people have lived this kind of lifestyle, this affluent lifestyle, with the internet, with YouTube, with everything available to us, we can learn anything we want at the drop of a hat, you know, just a few keystrokes away. You know, I live in more luxury than the kings of the 14 and 1500s do. I've got climate control through AC and heating. I've got running water. I've got electricity. I've got access to as much information as I want. This is, overall, this is the best time to live. This is the best time we've ever had to live. And yet there's still struggles. Yes, of course there is. Because we live in a fallen world. But don't make those problems keep you clamor down. Don't make those problems be the reason you're quiet. Be loud, but do it respectfully. And what I mean by that is, don't apologize for what you believe. If you have true, righteous, virtuous virtues, then have the background to back them up. That is my biggest problem with the evangelical church, as, you know, big Eva, if you will. There's like big pharma for big pharmacies and tech and stuff. Well, big evangelical churches have a problem, and that is they're willing to bend the knee. They're not willing to call out sin as sin. They're not willing to stand up when they get flack. Men, stand up. Men, lead. Be willing to offend people. Don't be an a-hole. And don't try to offend people. But speak the truth and know that it will offend people. And be okay with that. I believe that government mandates for bodily injections does not end well. And I'm prepared to get flack for that. That's okay. I believe human life starts at conception. That riles up a lot of people on the abortion issue. I believe that all lives matter. And we shouldn't even have to say black lives or white lives or Asian lives. I don't believe that should even be a thing that we have to say. I think it's ludicrous we have to say that. In fact, I don't believe we have to say it. I agree with the sentiments. The sentiment of the actual issue, yes, black lives matter, white lives matter, Asian lives matter, all lives matter, because they were created by God. But I don't believe I need to be politically correct and say, well, black lives matter, and if I'm not saying that, then I don't value them. No, that's not true. If I don't say that, if I don't go along and toe the party line or say the right thing, then I'm a bigot, racist, insert. No, I don't think that's true, and I don't think that's fair. Judge the quality of a man based off of his character, not based off of his skin color or what he may or may not put on Facebook. Okay, I did not do that blackout thing. I don't believe it was actually going to be beneficial anyway. During that time, however, I did take part in providing security and safety to neighborhoods that were affected by riots. I was willing and able, and part of it was my job, but the other part was I was willing and able to put my life on line to keep people safe. That speaks more of my value than a blacked out Facebook profile picture. So when you come across people who are going to get upset and get offended and say you need a trigger warning for things, no, you don't. And this rubs a lot of Christians the wrong way too, because we're told, you know, hey, be nice, be kind, don't stir the pot, love your neighbor. Look at what Jesus did. You know, he called the Pharisees, he called the religious leaders, I think it was Jesus, it could have been John the Baptist, but a brood of vipers. He called them snakes. He said that when they led people down the path of sin through legalism, through adding on man-made rules, that they made their followers, the people who followed the religious leaders, to twice the sons of hell as they were. He called them sons of hell. He called them that their father was Satan. Jesus was offensive. He was brutal to the establishment because the establishment went against his kingdom. And I made a post on my personal Facebook page a few days ago about, or it could have been yesterday actually, about that Canada, Prime Minister Trudeau, is scared. And he is scared because there is a different king and his name is Jesus. And I posted four articles to four different pastors being arrested in Canada for preaching during COVID lockdowns and through, like, because of health restrictions, they were supposedly unable to preach. Those men had courage. Those men had the morals, not only the morals, but the backbone to back it up. They said, we serve a greater king, a higher king than Justin Trudeau. Trudeau is not a king. He is not a monarch. And, you know, you can say, well, the queen is because, you know, Commonwealth and Canada and Britain, all that. They serve a higher cause. They serve a higher master. And they were willing to back it up. So men, in your workplace, if people are talking about, you know, let's say vaccines, and you're like, well, I don't want to stir the pot. If you're asked, go ahead and tell them where you stand. And even if you're not asked, but you're part of the conversation, you may just say it anyway. But don't shy away from things because it could cause controversy. Don't shy away from stirring the pot because it's not nice. We are too nice. And I think that's one of the reasons we see a decline in our society, because we don't have men who are willing to have a backbone. We don't have men who are willing to say things that are offensive or, you know, hurtful, so-called hurtful, because it could offend someone. I've said multiple times over, I do not believe a male can become a female or a female can become a male. I believe God created two genders, male and female. And I've been told I am hateful for that, that I support the killing of people, that I support mass suicide, all of which is untrue. Simply put, I believe that there are two genders, male and female. I think males have a certain anatomy. I believe females have a different anatomy. Now, you could say, well, what about intersex or people who were born with both sets of genitalia? And I will give that a caveat, because there's such a thing as mutation in a fallen, messed up world like this. There are mutations. There are anomalies. It's not the rule, it's the exception. And even in that exception, look at the chromosomes. Is it an XX or an XY chromosome? And that'll tell you your base. Okay? An exception, not the rule, is that most people, a rule, not the exception, is that most people are born at 9 months. I was born at 6. I was just over a pound and I think just over a foot long. Or not. Yeah, something like that. So I was in and out of the hospital for like the first 4 months of my life. That is an exception, not the rule. That doesn't mean I was any less alive because I didn't have 9 months gestation. The idea that you have to be viable outside the womb to be counted as alive, well, I wasn't viable outside the womb without intensive medical intervention. Does that make me any less of a person? No. So when you have the opportunity and people are asking, take a stand. And even if they're not asking, but you have a strong conviction, take a stand and be willing. Be willing. Don't try to force your way into things. Don't be the jerk who's got to be assertive and a domineer. No, there's a There's a right way to do this. So when those opportunities come up, when those situations happen, be willing to be uncomfortable, be willing to make other people uncomfortable, and be willing to stand for truth. So live unafraid, lead unafraid, lead your family unafraid and unashamed. I am a leader in my house, and that is a calling I have. I am not ashamed of that. I make choices based off of what serves God the best and what serves my family the best. And in doing so, what serves my family serves God, because they are my primary ministry. And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed to stand for truth, and you shouldn't either. So, if you like this content, you know, hit the subscribe button, follow on Facebook at facebook.com/resilientmasculinity. You can find our podcast hosted at anchor.fm/resilientmasculinity, as well as some other distribution places such as Spotify and Packet Pod and Pod Player. And if you enjoy this and you like the YouTube videos, you can subscribe at youtube.com/resilientmasculinity. Again, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening, and go out there, take action, become the capable, strong, sovereign, moral men you are called to be, and lead well. Thank you very much, and I'll talk to you another day.